Welcome, Sega fans, to the podcast for which there is no schematic, just a pair of old Sega fans making it up as they go along. I'm Dan the Mega Driver, and with me is the cue to my bin file. It's James the Segaholic. Mate, how you doing?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. How's yourself?
Yes, good, mate. Good. Busy. Busy with stuff for the channel. And then I've gone on a bit of an Atlas binge as well. I started playing the DLC for Persona 3 today, and I'm playing Metal 4 at the same time. And then I decided to download Stalker 2, which came out today, seeing as we like to timestamp these videos. But mostly been playing a lot of what we're going to be talking about today, mate. How about yourself?
Aye, pretty much, mate. I've usual working away, you know, family stuff, getting some, you know, Saru stuff in there that we're going to talk about today. I was going to do a shameless plug because we do pickups, right? But people who follow me on Twitter will have known I was waiting on this. Look at that. Just look at that. Look at the smuck. Look at that. right out the
corner. Time will come, Megatron.
Yeah, I wish I could do a Starscream.
my Starscream comes out in that column. Yes.
This doesn't work, mate. I can't do it. That is the deformation space Starscream, which is a third party fan toy. He's actually called Crimson Wings to avoid copyright issues, but he's vastly superior to the MP52 toy in every way possible. Oversized masterpiece, just small, a bit smaller than Meg's standing there, so he's not going to rise up and try and take his leadership. But nah, mate, it's 11 stressful days, like tracking it from China. The tracking number changed. The one the seller put on it became invalid. Ended up using some weird, like, site that tracks all parcels out of China. And through that, I found that it had been assigned a different Royal Mail number, so I was able to track that one instead. And it was like, oh, man. I thought it had gone missing, and then it turned out it took a detour by plane. It landed somewhere completely. It didn't go straight from China to here. It was like it went a detour. So I just change into a jet and fly here yourself, you lazy bastard. It's like
got lost in the space bridge.
That's it, mate. Aye. Megatron's master plan didn't quite work out, did it? So,
or did, aye. Maybe. Extinction to all traitors and all that.
Exactly. But now he's here and he's brilliant, so chuff with that.
Yeah. The only pickups I've got is Metaphor, which I don't have on me. But then I did get PSP battery cover, which I've needed for a long time. That was £2.50. Needed one of those for a while. The old one snapped off because the batteries on them swell up, become enormous. So I've been binging on Shining Force on that, actually, on the PSP. Because I need to play the original Shining Force properly. I don't have time to like sit through all the battles and play it properly on the Mega Drive. And I don't want to play it emulated on the PC because it feels like it's a waste of electricity to put on that to play just Shining Force. So I thought, play it on the PSP. So, and I'll better replace the battery cover. So that's for me, mate.
Mate, I think that might be the cheapest pickup ever. Like, next week I'm going to turn up with a CR2032. Right, that's my pickup next week. A new battery for my Saturn.
Oh, I've picked up some cheap games in my time, mate. But yeah, that's one. they're cheaper than that battery cover, but £2.50. Pleased with that, mate. But yeah, we both had a couple of pickups in the recent weeks, though, haven't we? Don't know when this will be going out, when our audience will be hearing this. Probably in the new year, won't it? The time
2025, mate, I think. Yeah. we've got plans still to go out, and obviously Winterfest for Radio Sega coming up. Then we take our customary Christmas break and then come back in the new year. So I think this might well be one of the earliest pods of 2025. So if it is, you know, hope you'd a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. But mate, so you spotted these you know, a couple of weeks ago at the time of recording, messaged me, you know, good deal on AliExpress. And I was just like, you know, Emperor Palpatine sitting in the seat going, do it. Pulled the trigger. And a couple of Sarus came over from China pretty quickly. Really quick, actually. You know, faster
Aye.
than Mr. Crimson Wings over there.
Aye. 5-day shipping, mate. As I say, I always open AliExpress up, and I'm going to be honest, mate. I'm always looking for Transformers, right? That's so the only reason I go on that site is to find Transformers, mate, right? You know, as you can see. But it's like the Choice Day sale was on, and I think this is like a random, like, kind of flash sale that they do. The big one they do was last week, or a week ago, was over that. In fact, 9 days ago at the time of recording was the 11th of November. It's like their kind of Black Friday, but they also do these kind of like Choice Day sales where they pick certain things and just have them on sale. So these were, they jumped out at me in amongst a sea of Transformers. I must have searched for Sarus at some point because it recommended it as something I might be interested in, and they were £89 down to 35. Well, £35.08. Let's not forget the 8 pence. But what caught my eye about them was it said it had beveled edges on the cartridge, which they do. And it said it uses new chips, not repurposed ones. So that immediately caught my eye. And then I looked a bit deeper, and the seller had, like, at that time, 240 of them sold, 5-star seller rating. I'm like, this looks like a deal. I then started looking at the kind of the user or the buyer reviews. There was photographs, some of you did videos, and I'm like, right, okay, this is looking legit. I'm like, this might be the time for us to kind of jump on the Saru train. What's that message later? And we decided to take the plunge on them, and I'll be honest, mate, it's exceeded my expectations of it. It's a lot better than I ever thought it was from just kind of general kind of perceptions and comments that I've seen out there already.
Yeah, and I think we're benefiting because obviously I was looking back at Dave's, you know, he did the article for Shiro. He got his a while back, he got his in April. And I think we've got the benefit that the market's a little bit more mature now. You know, obviously they flooded the market with these. Little bit of background. Obviously, these were the schematic for these came out 10 years ago. So it didn't really go anywhere before that, and then all of a sudden it was a couple of years back, wasn't it? Or maybe a year or so ago, they started producing these in kind of these Chinese sellers like AliExpress. And you know, it's, you know, fair play to the original guy behind the schematic and the firmware, because he has tried to keep up with, you know, making sure that the firmware is compatible with, you know, the myriad carts that are coming out. That are various forms of Saru, and you can get them in all sorts of flavors, can't you? You can get them just that, literally just the board without the plastic shell, and then you buy the plastic shell and the stickers yourself. We got the you found ones where we got the shell and a nice little Sonic sticker on top, although you've now got the Shiro sticker on yours, which is beautiful for our video viewers. If you can hold that up to the camera, look at that, beautiful.
So I've got to thank Andy Mackie for that, because, like, I mentioned that we'd ordered Sarus, and Andy, like a flash, was on there going, "Oh, I've got a couple of labels here. I mean, I bought labels in case I ever got a Saru. Do you fancy one?" I'm like, "Hey, why not, mate? Thanks very much." So, Andy sent that through. So, but I mean, even the whole feel of it, like the shell, it's a really good quality, like, shell that's on there as well. Like, nothing on it feels like loose or cheap. It's got that, the same idea as the 4 MB RAM card. It's got that nice kind of textured frosting effect on it. Yeah, it's really, really well made. And as I said, like, even looking at the board, I've not dared to open it up yet. It was only two screws at the back, you know what I mean? But looking through it, you can see that it's a nice new board that's in there. It doesn't look, like it's been hacked together. It does look really, really well made. So again, for the price, mate, it was an absolute no-brainer. And as you said, like Dave's article, he was probably on, I would imagine, at that time, version 0.3 or maybe 0.4 of the firmware. So we're on 0.6 now. And it's also this one supports like the new FPGA, which is 0.5. There's a bit of confusion that it knocked me for six a wee bit as well at the start, getting my head around it, because like it said on the auction, supports the latest firmware. But then I went on to TP Unix's website, that's the developer who done the schematics and now supports the firmware. And it's just a brilliant bit of kit, mate. It's just I can't fault it at all. You know, it's but the guy supporting it, you know, for him to actually go and do that and continue to support, as you said, all these different versions of Sarus that are out there, you know, is amazing. But as I said, the FPGA, it shows a 0.5, and I put the 0.6 firmware on there, and I'm looking at my menu and I'm going, like, why is that not changing to 0.6? But the FPGA number doesn't represent the firmware. The FPGA apparently hasn't been updated for months, so that is on version 0.5, but the firmware is 0.6. And what it lets you do now is that basically, you don't, I think earlier builds or earlier SARUs, you had to flash the actual cart to make it, you know, update. These now you don't, you just literally drop the three files onto the SD card, and everything's done from the SD cards. You don't need to flash anything on these anymore. So it's come on leaps and bounds, mate, from whenever Dave done that first kind of look at it.
Yeah, yeah, he came on the podcast, didn't he? It was when him and Tom Charnock were on. That's how far back it was. But for anyone that hasn't seen your video, if you're thinking of getting one of these, definitely check that out, because that's what I used to set mine up.
I think a lot of people did, mate.
Yeah, it was brilliant video, really easy to follow, really short, to the point. But if you're watching this and you haven't kind of seen the Shiro articles and you haven't seen that video, and this is kind of news to you, what is a Seru? The best way to describe it is, you can't really describe it as an ODE, because it's not an ODE, it's a cartridge. But to call it a flash cart is, I think, giving it a bit of a disservice, because it does so much more. essentially, this is a cartridge that plugs into the cartridge port of your Sega Saturn. You can load it up with software, you know, ROMs, ISOs, etc. But you can still use your disk drive, obviously, unlike, say, a mode or a Fenrir. In Fenrir, in its base form, you can get the adapter. You can still use your disk drive, and the Saru gives you the option in the menu to go back to your disk drive.
That's right.
It also acts as a 4 megabyte RAM card. It also gives you saves. It does a bit of everything, doesn't it, mate? And we'll go a little bit more into detail about the various things it does. But yeah, it kind of is an all-in-one solution. Unfortunately, no modem compatibility. I think if it's not off the cards, because I think the board's got some sort of pins, or at least something to allow like a USB adapter or something. But you'd have to buy a whole new card for that sort of functionality if it was ever added. But it does pretty much everything else, doesn't it?
Aye, and as I said in my video as well, it's like, you know, is it an ODE? Is it a flash card? And it kind of it sits in a kind of gray area in between, because like, it's kind of an ODE, because it's like, it's essentially replicating loading games from the disk drive, but it's not doing it by physically replacing the disk drive. So, you know, it's bypassing it to use the greater data transmission speed of the cartridge slot. So it's not a flash card either, because you don't flash the games to memory. Like, you know yourself, when you load up an EverDrive, you pick your ROM, and then you watch the wee bar, you know, erasing ROM, loading ROM, and then it goes in. So you don't have that. It's literally like that, and it loads. So, like, I think someone in the comments in the video kind of said about it's an OCE, an on-chip emulator, which was a terminology that they used. Now, you know, again, I'm not massively technically minded. It's not a term that I've ever heard used. But, you know, it's, as you say, mate, it's not an out-and-out ODE, and it's not a flash cart. It's its own kind of unique brand of peripheral. But what I will say is, if this had existed in that form 4.5 years ago, like, I wouldn't have opened my Saturn up. You know, and this is the thing, I'm not all of a sudden sitting here going, do not buy Fenrir. Like, I love Fenrir. It's still my preferred ODE option. You know, it's still got compatibility and not compatibility, functionality to come with the Wi-Fi. But for someone who's coming to Sega Saturn for the first time, or someone who's returning to it maybe after decades away, and they don't want to go through the rigmarole of opening up a console, man, for £35, mate, you cannot go wrong.
No, you know? No. I think the thing is, yeah, it's definitely much more accessible and has a great feature set. I think we do have to kind of touch on the compatibility. I've had a few games that didn't load, because that did load on Fenrir, because Fenrir is what, 99%. I think there's just a
Nice.
one or two titles that don't load in it. I've had a few with the, not loads. What I did, mate, and I'm pretty sure you did the same, is I got my new SD card to put in the Saru, took the SD card from the Fenrir and just copied it all across. So, in terms of a raw comparison, it's pretty much there. I've got both Saturns set up next to me now, and yeah, it's been interesting going through the two, because obviously the way that the games perform, you get to know that, but also you get an idea for the compatibility. And I think if you are returning to the Sega Saturn scene, like you say, if you're new to the Sega Saturn scene and you just kind of want to play a sample of the games, but what is it, 95%
About that,
compatible? And I think the biggest Achilles heel for it is probably the homebrew. But if you just want to go back and discover some of the classics from the Sega Saturn library, can't go wrong, can you?
No, some of the homebrew stuff and the translation stuff doesn't, Saru doesn't like it, So if that's something that you think is important to you, then this isn't the option, for you. But hey, like, in terms of what I've had kind of crash on me, I've had Sega Rally, Last Bronx, Virtua Fighter 2, and Panzer Dragoon. If I left them on a tracked mode, or whatever Panzer Dragoon's version of a tracked mode is, the intro and all that, the flyover, when I've left it sitting on that, after maybe 50 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I've came back through and it's been frozen on, like, for Sega Rally, it was a Sega Sports screen. For Last Bronx, it was a big red font, Last Bronx loading. But if I played the game, I've played games on it. Like, I've played Sega Rally for over an hour. I've played Last Bronx for a good 30, 40 minutes. So it seems to be whenever it's going through that loop on some games that it has a problem. But I ran Dragon Force and had that running for 2.5 hours. The vast lands of Legendra. That was ingrained. No, I just kept on hearing it. So I've tried to kind of stress test kind of various things, and yeah, during actual gameplay, majority of the kind of big commercial titles that everybody would probably want to try and play, so far they've been fine. X-Men: Children of the Atom, which was a game I really wanted to work because the load times are horrendous. And it didn't make it past the first new loading screen. I was like, ah, damn. Now, whether that would have to be down to amending the config file and changing the kind of the read speeds individually, I don't know. If that's something that could be done. Is it William Santos who I'd mentioned on the video that I did? He's got a brilliant GitHub page full of, like, themes and updates to config files where he's testing out games and, putting up new entries that you can copy over for games that aren't on the actual firmware for version 0.6. Most of them, to be fair. I was talking to Derek Pascarella and he mentioned about checking the load speeds, and I went back to him and I went through and done a comparison with the config file that comes with 0.6 and William Santos's config file, and I think bar one or two games, 0.6 was pretty much the same settings as what William had. So I think even maybe TP Unix has probably seen his config file and probably, I would imagine, has probably taken cues from it to get those read speeds in that firmware. But it's good. I like the fact that we can now kind of dig in and talk about this kind of quite technically as well. Like, because we have learned a lot in the last kind of, what, 2 weeks. We've been doing our homework on this thing, and it's a really, really smart bit of kit.
No, I absolutely agree, mate. I don't think it's definitely not a hard and fast thing, the homebrew thing either, because some homebrew
No.
games definitely boot up straight away. Like, I was booting up the Shining Force 3 scenarios, the latest versions, but the Night of Dragons released version 23. They all boot up absolutely fine, no issue at all. But Castlevania Symphony of the Night, the kind of the ultimate version for Sega Saturn, that one, again, it wouldn't get past the kind of the now loading screen. And sometimes I think it's, if it doesn't work on Femur, it's not going to work on Saru either, I found, because I've got a few ISO or images. Nights into Dreams, for some reason, I've never been able to get an image that works on Femrir, and it doesn't work. It doesn't even get past. Yeah. So,
I'll sort you. I've been playing Nights on my Femrir for ages, man. I'll sort you, mate. After this is finished, I'll get that sent to you.
Yeah, I was thinking of ripping it one of my own discs on there, but I've been using the disc drive on Saru and on Saru to play it for some cat footage that I needed recently. But yeah, unfortunately, one of the archive sites has been locked where you recommended getting images from before. I mean, I own the games. It's just
yes. it's written there somewhere behind them, so
yeah,
it's all legal.
I own them, so it's legal. But yeah, so you know, it doesn't, if it doesn't work on Fenrir, is probably to do with the ISO itself. It looks like some of the images aren't great, but but by and large, most of what I threw at it handled. But most of it has to do, like you say, mate, with the timings, because of the way, and you know, a bit more technical again, because of the way that Saru works and the way that it's bypassing the disk drive and going through kind of a faster route directly to the Saturn hardware. Some games that are expecting to be read by the CD drive at a certain speed will kind of have a little bit of a fit. And
that's, I think, a that's technical term.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening with the attract modes. It's probably going out of sync or something at one point. Which is why obviously there's, you know, config files to adjust your timings. But yeah, that what that does mean is that games that do work on there, generally you get massive load speed, massive improvements in load times. Some of the ones that I was playing, mate, fantastic. House of the Dead, I was playing just before we started recording, and the initial loading screen just flew by. I was hoping that the mid-level loading would be a lot faster, but it's faster. It's not, I thought it would be like instant, but not quite there, but it's much improved.
Aye. It's, I remember like Dave and Pat, whenever they got their hands on, like, you know, the Saru, I remember Dave telling me on WhatsApp, he's like, "No, you won't believe how fast this is. It's like an arcade machine." And I'm like, "Really?" Like, nah. And he's like, "No." He went, "No." He went, "Trust me, you need to see this to believe it." And whenever I loaded it up and I put on Virtua Fighter, just threw on Virtua Fighter, and like there's no loading between rounds. Like, you get your victory pose, then you're straight in here, fight one. I was like, "Oh, holy shit, it's just look, it's like an arcade machine." Like all of the your Sega brawlers, like your Fighters Megamix, Last Bronx, Fighting Vipers, Virtua Fighter 2, they're all just boom, boom, boom between rounds. It's absolutely brilliant. Like Sega Rally as well, the little kind of splash screen for like Desert, Mountain and Forest, it's there, but it's there for like a second. It's a couple of seconds, and then it's like you're straight in. It's like, "Oh, this is nice," you know. And even like the speed that it operates in general, like was it 0.5 firmware that added ABC start to reset, which is a brilliant feature. And you know, we've all been used it since the '90s. You know, ABC start back to title screen, ABC start back to the BIOS. But even the speed that it went back there at, it's like, you do it, and before you know it, it's like boom, the BIOS screen, you know, and then you hit start, and it's, oh, for Jesus, it's right there.
Yes, yeah. What I absolutely love about that, is that if you do ABC start, it kicks you back to the BIOS, you know, as with any game, and Femria does it. Obviously, if you don't have any ODE, it sends you back to the BIOS. If you press start, it sends you back to the Saru menu, but if you press A, it takes you back into the game that you booted up, which is, I think that's fantastic, because there was a reason why I wanted to boot back to BIOS and go straight back into the game, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit. But yeah, the speed that it goes through, mate. You know, I was playing. It's quite funny when you talk about X-Men versus Street Fighter. Back in the day, we thought those load times were quick, but then when you look at it in hindsight, you see comparisons with the arcade, and there is a tiny little bit of loading in there. But honestly, with this Saru, it is instant. It is like instantaneous. It is like you said, mate, like being in the arcade. Virtua Fighter 2, you know, the little red brick wall that flashes up, literally there for like, can't be even half a second. It's right. Absolutely amazing. And I think if you're, it doesn't completely get rid of load times for some games. I found that obviously we both tried X-Men Children of the Atom, and obviously that didn't quite work. Street Fighter Alpha 2, I did try, and it was better, but it wasn't rapid. You know, it wasn't like the improvement that you weren't skipping between fights like you were in Virtua Fighter. There was still a good few seconds of loading there, better than it would be on a disc, but still noticeable. But for most of the games, mate, it's absolutely instantaneous. Was there any other ones on, like, in terms of load times that were massive improvements, did you think?
Try think. What else have I tried? Bug.
It's funny, I was going to try Bug.
And do you know how I tried Bug? By accident, because the A button in my Japanese Saturn controller, it's not sticky, but it's quite sensitive. So obviously, whenever you go into the menu, and your first one is like to enter your game, so start game, you press A to bring your list up. But because my A button was so excited and Bug was my first game, it jumped straight into Bug. So I went, oh well, I might as well just go with it. It's already up, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but it's everything that I've tried. I just tried the kind of stock favorites, like the fighting games, mainly because it was that kind of arcade experience to try and see what the load times between rounds. Obviously, Sega Rally, Sega Touring Car as well was improved. So it's honestly, it's as you say, mate. It's like it's not going to get rid of every game's problems, you know, but it will drastically cut it down. And I've never had a problem with the load times on Fenrir. It's like, you just accepted them for how it was. Like, basically, Fenrir will load games as efficiently as a brand new CD drive, a brand new out the box Sega Saturn. So that was always fine, but it's not until I was doing the comparison video that I put alongside the guide. And I was like Daytona USA as well. I was like, holy, like, I was halfway like up into the tunnel of Dinosaur Canyon before I'd even like got to the starting grid on the Fenrir version. So it's just, there's some games that are rapid, some games that it will cut them, but it's not like a miracle cure for load times. As you say, there will be some on some games.
Yeah, absolutely. I did find that games that use the 4 megabyte and 1 megabyte RAM card were really quick. So if you didn't know, and I think we mentioned it, but if we didn't, it does support 4 megabyte RAM card as well. So you don't need to stick a RAM card in with your disc, you know, with, you know, your ODEs, Satiator, Fenrir mode. You do have to have a 4 megabyte RAM card or, you know, adjacent device in order to play it, to play like X-Men versus Street Fighter, King of Fighters, etc. But Saro is basically all in one solution. You know, the cart already exists. So I threw a couple of games there. I was playing Real Bout. I was playing, as I said, X-Men versus Street Fighter and Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter. And the Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter and X-Men versus Street Fighter were instant. The game was instant. Street Fighter 03, I found that. The thing about the Saturn version of that is the load times are noticeably longer than the Dreamcast. They were still there. You still get kind of the profiles pop up for a few seconds when it's loading. But I think the biggest beneficiaries were definitely the SNK games. So Real Bout and Metal Slug, both of them. You see the loading bar gets to like a third of the way and it's done. It's like the loading bar can't keep up with how fast it's actually loading, which is because I bought Metal Slug when I was up in Japan. Right, it's one I've been after for years and years, and now it's like, well, I'm not going to play that version. It's going to be so much faster on the Saru. But yeah, the thing about the 1 megabyte RAM card games, because I've been using. This is my old 4 megabyte RAM cart that I got with Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter back in 1998. And you know, that stuck by me for years. But that has been wedged into my Sega Saturn with the old piece of folded paper to make sure that all the contacts are touching. Two problems with that. One, it's not really very good for the pins to have that push forward. And two, the 4 megabyte RAM card isn't compatible with a lot of 1 megabyte games. So if you play something like Real Bout, there's an awful lot of artifacting. Same with King of Fighters 96. But you play those games on the Saru, it automatically diverts to being compatible with 1 megabyte or 4 megabyte, depending on the game you play. So not only do you have your games and your, you know, RAM card all in one place, but they're faster as well. So in those terms, if you're playing games that use the RAM card, they're compatible, they're faster, and they look great. But did you manage to try any of the 4 megabyte RAM card games, mate?
X-Men versus Street Fighter and Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, the kind of the go-tos, and as you say, mate, they're just rapid. King of Fighters 95, there's a workaround for that with the modded version. I've not tried it. I read it on one of the forums. Apparently, you take the King, it's KOF95.bin, you take that file out and you drop it in the root of your ISO. So see the folder ISO?
Yeah.
If you take the KOF95.bin file and take it out of the King of Fighters 95 folder, but leave it in the root of the ISO folder, it works.
Oh, okay.
So that's something that I need to try as well. I didn't have time to do it before we came on, but I read it on the various kind of forums, and apparently it works. So, you know, that was one, I think, was it... is it YZB was the guy's name that basically patched King of Fighters 95, 96, and 97. And I believe his King of Fighters 95 patch only works with Action Replays or Pseudo Saturns, whereas his 96 and 97 ones, they do work with the official 4 megabyte ones. Yeah. So there is a workaround for King of Fighters 95 on Saru, which I need to try. I just didn't have time to do it before this, but by all accounts, from what people have said online, it does work.
So this is the modified version that uses a RAM card rather than the ROM card that 95 came with.
Yep.
That'd be interesting, because I was wondering for a second when you were saying putting the one of the bin files into the root folder, I was wondering, is that the image for the cart that goes into the Saru? Now that would be interesting, wouldn't it? There was only a few that did the ROM cart. There was the King of Fighters 95, and there was the Ultraman game that did the ROM cart as well. it'd be pretty cool to have those, you know, if you could download the cart image and the ISO. I've got King of Fighters 95 on there, but I always play the patch version because, as you know, mate, taking the carts out and putting them back in again is a recipe for disaster. But I have to say, despite all my jiggery pokery with bits of folded paper to push the 4 megabyte RAM cart in, I slot the Saru in without anything, just pushed it in, it worked straight away. Absolutely no problems at all.
Yeah, which kind of backs up, you know, Dave's kind of comments about it. It's not so much the slot in some of these machines, it's just the age of the carts, you know, because Night of Dragon was doing those net links, and, you know, he was putting each one in and loading them, and they were working first time when he was testing before sending them out. So, you know, I was the exact same, mate. I put the Saru in, and it just, and that was that Japanese Saturn that Tom Fum got his hands on for me. And I'm thinking, how long's that thing been in storage? Where's it been stored? Because, you know, I can't put it in my PAL Saturn because there's a Fenrir in there, it'll clash. But in the Japanese Saturn, which is where it was always intended to go, put it in, mate. First time boot up, done. I'm like, all right, okay. And my bottle of deoxit ready, just to kind of put a few drops in, just in case. That wasn't needed.
Yeah.
First time, boom, no problem. And I say, that's why I had no qualms taking it out to kind of show it on camera, because I know for a fact I'll go through there and put it back in, it'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'm still nervous about my PTSD.
It's old habits die hard, mate. It's just, it's like, aye.
You've got yours to show our video viewers. That's fine. I don't need to get my car out.
Dan's like that. You take the chance, mate. You take the chance.
Take one for the team.
I know mine still works. It's like yours, mate. See me on Twitter later on going, it's fucking broke.
Oh, but yeah, Great load times, 4 megabyte, 1 megabyte RAM card compatibility. Compatibility is good itself. Per game save. What do you think about the per game save, mate? Because I think it's some sort of witchcraft.
Aye, it's like your Saturn never asks you like for anything. Like, there's nothing that you're never told of no space. It just, and I don't know where you find the actual file that it's creating. It's like, so how do you manage the storage? I'm like, what if your game's crap and you want to start a new save? Like, I need to figure out how you actually delete saves. Like, I seen comments online. Was it somebody actually commented on the video saying it still needs a decent save game manager, which I would agree with. But it's like, it's obviously putting them on the SD card somewhere. But, oh man, it is great to just load a game up and never have to see the, you do not have enough blocks to save this game. Press A to return to the Saturn dashboard or start to continue. That's like, you know, Virtua Fighter 2 wants 180 blocks.
But you playing Dragon Force right now, because that game has, you know, pretty much, you can say, I like a pauper, played it on my Fenrir and had to, you know, just do the save at the end of the week. But you have got full reign to use the cartridge save, which lets you save anywhere in that game.
Aye. It's like my save that I've started after I spoke to you and Mel about it was on the Fenrir, and I went in and cleared out like, met 256 blocks. The number's etched in my brain, mate, because I was getting culling like different. Oh, do I want that? No, I need to do that. I need to do that. And every time I loaded the game up, it kept on saying, "You still do not have enough space." And I'm like, oh, for God's sake. But as I say, I loaded it up on the Saru. And again, the load times are great on that as well. And I didn't get any prompt or anything about storage. It was just, yeah, I'll save your game. I'll save your game. It's cool.
Yeah. It's crazy. I had some concerns about it because I was like you. I was like, oh, I want to see the games. I want to see my save files because they must exist somewhere. It must exist. So I did a few experiments because there is a link. I haven't tried it yet, but on Dave's Shiro article, which we'll link in the notes below, it does link a tool that you can use to manage your game saves. I haven't tried it myself yet. But what I was worried about is I really need to play all three Shining Force scenarios because I've not played through them all. But I was like, well, I need to be able to make sure that the games interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So I thought, right, well, what games can I try? And I didn't get a chance to try Duke Nukem, Exhumed and Quake to unlock Death Tank. But what I did do was try Panzer Dragoon, Zwei and Saga, because if you have a save file for each of those, it unlocks Pandora's Box in Panzer Dragoon Zwei. So yeah, booted up Panzer Dragoon Zwei. For some reason, I didn't have a save file on my Sega Saturn, which I thought I did. I was certain I played the disc version not that long ago, but that's by the by. Created a new save on there. Went back to the Saru menu, opened it up, started Saga, skipped through everything, found the first save point, saved it, went back to Zwei, and immediately was greeted with the hidden video that you get if you've got Saga. You get if you've got a Saga save, it boots up, and the first thing it gives you is a kind of abridged version of the original Panzer Dragoons video. Have you ever seen that, mate? Because the first time I saw it, and then when I saw it lately, trying to capture footage for some reason, I've seen the music come up, like the classic, do, and I've gone, oh, for fuck's sake, I put the wrong disc in, open it up, and it's still twatting. And then when you get rid of it, once you skip past that initial bit, you never see it again.
But so, you just basically thought it's giving you the old classic intro, just went, nah.
I thought I've put the wrong disc in, opened it up, and I was like, oh, this is still Panzer 2. What's going on? And then you put the disc back in, and it's straight back to the old classic Panzer's Vibe intro rather than the original one. So yeah, I booted up, and the original Panzer Dragoon kind of abridged intro that's hidden in that game came up. So Panzer 2 could see the Saga file, even though they're completely different games, stored somewhere in this data. because it's, I've read that it creates its own internal memory, its own image of internal memory for each game, but that can't quite be right if different games can see each other. So if you've got Shining Force 3 scenario 2 and 3 and you're worried about those games seeing each other, they can. I don't know how it works. As I say, it's some sort of witchcraft. But yeah, that's why I booted up Zwei. The one thing, weird thing I found about it was booted up Zwei, got the intro, went to Pandra's box, thought, great. Went back to the boot menu, went into the memory manager, and the memory manager has just got internal memory. Cartridge is grayed out, internal memory, clicked in there. The only thing in there is Zwei. So I deleted Zwei, booted it up, and it lost, it didn't have the Pandra's box. So I went back in, booted up Saga, didn't do anything, just booted it up, then came back out, booted up Zwei again, and then that, lo and behold, Pandra's box was there again. So I'm not sure how it works.
is it possibly saving as a memory chip actually on the cartridge? Because I always assumed that or believed that it was saving to the SD card.
It must be. Must be saving to the SD card. Obviously, the size of these blocks from the 90s is, you know, it's just a drop in the ocean on these things. But yeah, what was the first memory card? I mean, that was like 3,000 blocks, wasn't it? So it's like 4 megabyte, wasn't it?
Was it 4,000 blocks? I thought it was it 3 or 4,000?
About 3,000 something, isn't it?
So, you know, as you're saying, mate, minuscule, you know, like SD cards don't even break in a sweat.
Yeah.
But an actual memory manager would be nice, you know, if they could add that to the menu to go in and be able to actually see them for yourself. And because obviously, look, as I say, how do you delete them? Like, what if you fancy just starting completely fresh on something?
You can go back to the BIOS and go to your memory manager after you've booted a game, and you'll find your save game in there. If you boot up the console cold, go to Saru and then boot to the CD manager and go into the memory there, it will show that there's nothing. Both internal and cartridge are grayed out. If you boot up a game, save something, go back to the boot menu, then you'll see a game in there, but it'll be only that game showing in the internal memory. So you could delete the individual game, but you won't. You can delete the individual game, but you won't necessarily see anything else in there.
So basically, the game that you've loaded up, if you ABC start back, so say you've got a game that you've already got a save on, so if you boot it up and then go back to the memory manager, you'll see that game because that's the one that it's previously remembered was loaded last.
Yeah.
Delete the save from the memory manager, which is the only one showing, then press A to boot it up fresh.
Yeah.
Essentially, that would be your fresh start then.
That's okay. It then, yeah.
That's a bit of a workaround, a bit kind of fiddly, but if it works, then it's a solution for now anyway.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, you know, you do get per game save, like stuff like A-Life on Nights into Dreams, you can have that fully working now. You can have like all your advanced, you can properly play Stellar Assault SS without having to completely nuke all your internal storage.
Aye, tell me about that one, mate. Whenever that came out, I was really excited to play that, and then I was like, I need to try and make space. Like, I can't do it. It's like, it was a struggle.
I mean, that's one thing that I do like about Fenrir is you can back up the whole internal memory and you can just completely wipe that, and if you need to do that sort of thing. But you kind of need to note down what it is you've got on what date.
Well, that's the thing as well. It was it Night of Dragon? Night of Dragon, Dragons of Saturn, Mr. Fredrickson on the Shiro Discord. There's something that's been out for about 2 years as well. Is it Pseudo Fenrir Kai or Fenrir Loader Kai or something? And it basically adds the Pseudo Saturn Kai front end onto Fenrir, but it does it all on the SD card. So it's like, it's not as if you're flashing your Fenrir to become like a Pseudo Saturn. And that does give the ability to manage your saves. So if you want to kind of And I've known the balls to do it, mate. I don't want to mess about with my friend. You know, like he's asked me a couple of times, have you tried it yet? And I'm like, no, mate, no yet, no yet. I'm like, with my friend, I'm very much in a position of, it's not broke, so don't try and fix it like I did with the power supply and almost fucked the whole thing up. But no, mate, it's working fine. I'll just leave that be. But it's an option if people want to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've been so impressed with it, mate, especially that per game save, you know. And you know, where I was getting Virtua Fighter asking for its 180 blocks, Nights into Dreams saying it can't save A Life. No problem with it now. And you add to that the fact that there's decent compatibility, brilliant load times, you know, 4 megabyte, 1 megabyte RAM card compatibility. I think it's a bloody brilliant piece of kit. So you know, if people are looking for our verdict, it's definitely a thumbs up. But I think what people should be looking for when they're buying them, and I think you're probably best positioned to, you know, state that, because you had an eagle eye for these ones, and you know, I had the questions, and you was like, oh, these are the ones. But so, yeah, there was a shop that we used, which I think maybe we'll include that in description as well. But you know, what should people be looking out for these things?
Basically, you know, you're looking for, in the price, ideally, you want to make sure that the shell is included. You can get them separate, but why go through the hassle of ordering it and thinking, you know, you're getting the full thing and then a PCB drops through the post, so you have no shell. You know, so that's your first protocol. Secondly, you want a very good brand SD card, and don't buy it from an eBay seller, because you'll more than likely get a fake, which... good friend of the show had the unfortunate experience of, you know, with his Fenrir. It was a GDMU, sorry. He got a fake SanDisk and it caused all sorts of problems. So, you know, the last thing you've got, make sure it's got a shell included. Some of them do come with an SD card that's got some games on it. Again, I would question whether they're genuine, you know, given it's a Chinese auction site. It's AliExpress. It deals in fakes. So the chances that it being fake are pretty high with the SD card. But you know, get the shell, get the SD card, and then for the build quality, you're wanting a listing that says that it's got beveled edges. You know, just, you don't want, these machines are old, these cart slots are already kind of finicky as that, you know, and temperamental as it is. You know, let's not kind of tempt fate by jamming, you know, square boards in there. Let's kind of just let the pins, you know, do their thing naturally as intended. So nice beveled edges on the cart slot there. And obviously new chips. You're wanting brand new chips in there, not repurposed ones that have been... I've seen something in the comments was saying that some SARUs were being built by repurposing chips from Action Replay cartridges. Now, I'd never heard that before. But apparently, like, that's some of the places they were getting the chips. Can't verify if it's true or not, but... you know, someone did mention that's one of the places that they were getting the kind of memory chips from. But yeah, there's people again online that have had SARUs that have used repurposed chips and they're still working fine. And they probably will work fine, but I'm still recommending that you look for a listing that's got brand new chips on there, which these are. The name of the store, and we will put a link in the description anyway, but as I say, I've got it here. The name of the store is Gamophile Store. And when I look at it just now, they are still... so they are going to go down. They went back up to £43.39. But it's got an upcoming price at the Black Friday sale on November 22nd of £35.49, which is obviously close to what we paid. And as I say, the page is really good. It shows, you know, the game... and you know, running X-Men versus Street Fighter there, and you go to the gallery of reviews, and it's just all people who have bought it, you know, all photograph reviews, written reviews. That's the kind of stuff you're looking for. And it's got five stars, 5.0 from verified purchases. And so far, he's sold 390 of them. He was at 240 before I put that video up. I know like at least 10 people in the community that replied saying they were buying them. I think Dibs got one, Retro Martin got one, Mikowski got one. It's like, was it Ben got one as well? A load of folk picked them up. But yeah, it's just, we'll put the link in the description. for people who are looking for it. By the time this goes out, it may well have been back up. It's got its listing price. It should be £82.72. So, it's AliExpress. There's always sales. So if you're looking for one and it has gone back up by the time this goes out, just hang off a wee bit. You know, they will go down again. That's the kind of things to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, as we were saying in the Save Our Saturns episode, if you manage to get a cheap Sega Saturn console, and to be honest, whether the disc drive works or not, these are a great purchase, I think, for that, because we've both got these in consoles now that have both got working disc drives. Yeah. And what I will say, and one thing I forgot to mention, because this was another little experiment that I did, the per game save, it doesn't just work with games that come from that you load from the Saru. It works on disc games too. So Virtua Fighter 2, which I didn't have any room for on this Sega Saturn that I've got down there, I put the Saru in. Virtua Fighter 2 is another game that I've never been able to get to work properly on Fenrir. And Fenrir is missing audio for some reason, like during during the win quote screen. On Saru, it didn't load at all. So again, I think it's another weird ISO. Luckily, I own it twice up there. I've got the PAL and the Japanese version. So I stuck the Japanese version in. As I say, I've never had any room to save expert mode, the 180 blocks. Put it in, put the disc in, and straight away, I was able to access expert mode. So even if you're not loading the games from the cartridge, if you put in the disc, the per game save function works perfectly there as well. Again, how does it work? It's a mystery, but it works.
That's mental. So for all intents and purposes, the Saturn, when it's loading in its retail form, it sees the Saru save as nothing more than an expanded memory cartridge.
Yeah, it doesn't quite see it as a memory cartridge, because if you go into your memory manager, all of your internal saves are gone.
The game itself, for it, whenever it looks for a save, it just thinks, oh, there's one there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It says, oh, there's an empty. So yeah, when it loads up the disc, because obviously to get to the disc menu, you have to go through Saru. You have to go through the menu and get to. So yeah, the games that I've tried via disc, Nights into Dreams was another one. Works absolutely fine. Like Nights into Dreams was like, oh, I found your save game from 1996 or whatever. So I'm going to bring that up. Probably isn't 1996, probably a few years ago. But it's like, oh, here's your save game. But by the way, do you want your A-Life saved on here now? I was like, oh, yes, please. I'll have that as well.
Why not? It's like, we've got room to spare. Why not?
Yeah. So yeah, I've been blown away by it, mate. And I've got to say that I do love the fact that you can pick your own background and menu music as well.
Which is about to say, customization, mate, is big. And that's one kind of area where, Fenrir, and let's say Shader are very basic in that regard. It's a list of games and you can add like kind of screenshots on there, very, very, very small JPEGs with what ends up being really pixelated versions of whatever you choose, whether it's a game cover, the disc, a screenshot, whatever. And while it's not massively high resolution on the Saru, it's more legible than what Fenrir and the Satiator kind of menus have got. So it's great. You can really make your Saru yours. You can personalize it a lot. And as I say, like the first time I set it up, I took the Panzer Dragoon GIF from William Santos's site, and then I downloaded the Sega Flash Volume 4 music, which is just etched into here, and I downloaded that on YouTube to MP3, ripped that, and then changed it to PCM, and I go through that in the video as well, showing how to set up the GIF and the audio file in PCM format. And I had that at the start. I had obviously Panzer Dragoon with the Sega Flash music, and I was like, oh, this is just perfection. Then I thought, hold on a minute, I could go a bit more upbeat here. So I got Nick's thumbnail from his Sega Rally documentary, changed that into a GIF, and you have to set it to 320 by 240, Then I got Conditioned Reflex off of YouTube and converted that to PCM. Now, it doesn't play at quite the same speed. It's a wee bit a change in pitch and a wee bit slower, but it's still Conditioned Reflex. And I might have got Panda's thumbnail and Conditioned Reflex playing when I put up my Saru. It's just a Sega Rally Saru. Sega Rally Saru, you know?
Yeah. Probably. Perfect, mate. Yeah, because it was a GIF or a GIF, whatever they're called, I thought, right, I'm not going to use one of the pre-made ones and I'm not going to use a static image. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the animated GIF from... I'm going to take the title screen from Echo the Tides of Time, convert that into the right, you know, aspect ratio, the right size, make that an anime. So then I thought it'd be perfect. I'll have the bubbles bubbling up in the background. So when I choose my game, unfortunately, it doesn't support animated GIFs. It does for the one animation cycle. And then once it finishes the animation cycle, it will completely freeze. So I've got the Club Saturn. Do you remember Club Saturn was the I think it was UK only, wasn't it? It's a music CD with remixes of Sega Saturn songs on there. Yeah. On the front you've got, because I love the cover, and I think I used it for the Saturn 30th, part of it for the Saturn 30th promo, because you've got the Lancia, the Delta, you've got Lion Raphael, you've got I think it's Grace from Fighting Vipers. You got Knights, you got Sonic, so you got all these Saturn and Sega icons on there. So I've got that in the background. And I've got a song from Shining Force 3 on there called Flowing River Light of Moon, which is like really, just really chill. So I put that on. It's just like nice and mellow going in and just going through all the list of games.
Complete polar opposite, sir, mate. You're getting all chilled. I'm getting like an adrenaline junkie. Straight in Conditioned Reflex.
Yeah.
But it is great that you can do that. I love that kind of originality. And like, obviously you can swap them out as and when, what I've done on my computer, because you've got to rename the GIF and the PCM in a very specific way. You know, they've got to have that name type for Saru to recognize them. So I've just got a wee separate folder in my computer. Sorry, called, you know, just Saru themes. And I've just got one for each of the games that I've just interchanged. They're ready named to just drag and drop in as and when I need them. But you just change it to suit your mood or what game are you playing at the time. It's brilliant. I love that. I love that whole kind of customization. As you say, it's another feature. And it might not be important to some people to do that. Some folk might just go, oh, it's just a list of games. But just if you boot it up, it's nice to see something that you've chosen. You know? So, it's brilliant.
It makes it that bit more personal, doesn't it? And I think when I did mine, it was early in the morning and I wasn't ready to kind of rock and roll down the desert track. I just wanted something nice and chill, but you can make it your own. Because I think we're quite opposite in the way that we usually manage our ODEs, because your GDMU and your Fenrir are they're brilliant. The way that you have to, because you've got open menu and you've got the images on Fenrir, so they look beautiful. Whereas me, I literally just have the list of games. But mine's like no frills.
I remember I've sent you screenshots when what is that? And you're like, that looks good, mate, but I've just not got the time to set it up. It's like, I just want to list it. Like, but it's got pretty pictures, Dan. Come on. It's like, nah, mate, I've just got a list of games.
Yeah.
And open menu on GDMU is beautiful. And it's Derek Pascarella's fault. He introduced me to the DAT editor. And he once he done a tutorial on how to change the screenshots to actually add your own like cover art. Oh mate, I was screwed after that.
Like, it looks amazing.
My OCD just kicked in. Although in saying that, mate, I'm fed up making brand new entries on Open Menu's DAT editor for Doom 64. I've done 5 of them because there's constant like, and I'm like, it's got to the stage. I'm like, is this bump mapped version that we've got, is that now going to be the final version for a while? Can I set my cover art on this and leave it? Or is he going to bring out, like, is GN Martin going to do what he did last week and go, that's the latest version? Oh, I've done some, the floors look even better now. And I'm like, ah, you need to get another build. So, once I know for a fact that that's going to be the last kind of big update on that, I'll go in and change it. But I just love the customization aspect of it. And thankfully, Saru's not anywhere as involved as editing DAP files and assigning IDs and, you know, loading up a whole external editor to then, because, like, oh man, you've got to be a bit of a tangent, but this is to edit the DAT files on Open Menu. So you've got to have a backup, the original DATs. So it's like the image dot, there's three DAT files you've got to back up. So I've got two folders called original DATs and editing DATs, right? So when I load my card up into the GDMU or the Open Menu card manager, I go in and I copy my three DAT files that I'm working with that I know work fine into original DATs. Then I make a copy of them and put them in editing DATs. Then I load up the editor and you go to file and select folder, and then I choose the DATs in the editing DATs folder. That loads it up in the grid and that's what I work with. So then once I know that I've done my IDs and I've got my artwork all on there, I save that. So I save back to the folder editing DATs. Then I basically have to load my SD card back into the Open Menu SD card maker and then basically load those DATs back on through Open Menu through that to basically rebuild the folder 01, which is the Open Menu. Mate, it's a rigmarole. Like, and I'm talking through it, and I'm seeing each step as I'm talking. But, mate, it's, and if you do it, it's no long, but you can fuck it up pretty easily, moving files between different folders and stuff like that. But there you go, mate.
Yeah, I went through it with the PS Mini, and then I messed it up, and I was like, you know, I can't bother it anymore.
it's that kind of little OCD for perfection. I just want it to look, because it always annoyed me. You're in the Open Menu, image not found, like Capcom versus SNK2. Love that game on Dreamcast. For so long, it didn't have artwork. Thanks to the DAT editor, I fucking made it myself.
I know we're going off on a tangent now, but I do need to sort mine out. I have to give you a shout after, because I've got about five games called Crazy Taxi on my GDMU. One of them's Half-Life.
Aye. See, that's right. The Half-Life build thinks that it's called Crazy Taxi. And it'll even load up the artwork for Crazy Taxi as well. But thanks to the DAT editor, mate, no more. I've got my Half-Life art. Mate, just send me an SD card and I'll just clone mine, for Christ's sake, and send you that. It saves any hassle. Just send me a card and I'll sort you out, mate. That's it.
I'll have to take you up on that. But yeah, going back to Saru, mate. I think a couple of things I wanted to touch on. First of all, just a tiny thing. Did the game selection throw you off? Because you have to scroll through using the trigger buttons to go through pages rather than the left and right that you do on Fenrir. That still trips me up every time I load it up.
Aye, because on Fenrir, the shoulder buttons will kind of reset you.
Yeah.
It'll take you back. Whereas, I know what you mean. In left and right, goes through page by page. Aye.
But, that's pretty cool. But, so I think the last thing I was going to touch on is, as far as ranking this among other kind of Sega Saturn ODE solutions, I guess, for lack of a better term, to put our Saru under. I think as an entry-level device, definitely well worth, you know, the investment. At the discounted price, maybe if it's at full price, where you kind of, if it's 80 quid currently, if it's 80 quid full price, not that it probably ever will get there because they're always holding those discounts, but if it was full price and you add in the cost of the SD card on there now, which puts it kind of into Fenrir territory. I think at this stage, probably still hard to recommend over the Fenrir in term because of the compatibility. But yeah, what do you think, mate?
It's very much dependent on what's important to you, I think. Like, if you don't want to open up your Saturn, if, and as much as we can sit here and go, ah, it's a piece of piss, it's four screws and a ribbon cable, you know, but some people do get daunted by opening up consoles. They don't like it. So, first of all, if that's a barrier, straight away, Saru's a great option. If online play, if you're a big Netlink player and there is a big Netlink community out there, this isn't for you. If compatibility 100% with the library is important, that you don't want to have any potential kind of pitfalls, it's not for you. But if you are someone who is just wanting to get into Sega Saturn or is coming back to it after a time away and you've picked up a machine, maybe the disk drive, even if it's working, it might be temperamental, it might be broken, and you're just wanting to play games without any hassle and your interest is primarily just on the retail library, it's a brilliant option. I mean,
yeah.
Fenrir, we've been hearing about this Wi-Fi feature for a long time, and apparently the idea was that you could, you know, send games to the Fenrir from your computer. You could just, rather than taking SD cards in and out, which was going to be a godsend for the homebrew guys because they're constantly building, you know, new versions and adding features. No more SD card in and out, just buying it across Wi-Fi. So I think the homebrew community in the main, I think, still sees Fenrir as the kind of ODE of choice. But for the price and for the sheer feature set you get, like the paired game saves, the 4 megabyte and 1 megabyte RAM cartridge, save storage beyond your wildest dreams at 35 to 40 quid, you know, as a basic means to play the most common Sega Saturn games, it takes some beating, but it's very much you need to look at what you really want from your Saturn experience and then kind of try and pigeonhole which option suits you best.
Yeah. And I think unlike something like Fenrir and Mode, I think if you kind of, like you say, mate, if you've been away or if you're coming into it fresh, I think it's an easy recommend. And then if you get the taste for it and you want something a bit more comprehensive, say you want to upgrade to a Fenrir and you want to get involved in the online play, or you think, you know what, I want to go whole hog and get something like a Satiator because I want to retain my disk drive and I also want to get the Netlink and all that sort of stuff, I think the Saru is an easier thing to sell on than something like a Fenrir on the second-hand market. So I think it carries less kind of less risk. Because you might, once you know, you can probably move it on a little bit better. It's easier to move on a cart rather than kind of a board that you've had to take your Saturn apart for, and then you have to put stuff back in. So I think for the newcomer, it's perfect. And I think even if you're kind of a seasoned Saturn vet like us and Shiro guys, the feature set here is brilliant. You know, I mean, not everyone's going to be like you and I with two Sega Saturns that are connected up. You know, one with a Fenrir and one with a disk drive. But I think this is boom. I've said when I first saw, you know, Dave talking about it, the Per Game Save was the most attractive thing. But I think the whole feature set has blown me away here. And I think if anyone is thinking about getting into Sega Saturn, this is probably the way to do it. Just not with the AliExpress Saturns. Just get a proper Saturn and get one of these on top.
Aye, exactly. You know, we said whenever we did the Save Our Saturns episode, we are not against Saru. You know, it's like people thought because you're talking out against these machines because they only use Saru that we were against the idea of, no, Saru as an option on its own and its form as intended is fantastic. Like these Saturns that we spoke about, they are built to only work with Saru. You still have to buy one separately, you know. So Saru is brilliant, you know. And you know, TP Unix, as I've said, he's going to, you know, continue to support with firmware updates, so compatibility will just get better. There's a very passionate community around Saru as well. They want it to get to a level where it's up there with the kind of top end ODEs. And yeah, not everybody's got like multiple Saturns. Like we're privileged that we've got like a Saturn with a disk drive and a Saru and a Saturn with a Fenrir. But the reason why we have is so we can come on here and advise you guys on what best kind of option to take for your circumstances. So I mate, I went into it with pretty low expectations. I thought, why not for that price, you know, and for the reviews and for the kind of technical aspect of, you know, the beveled edges and the new chips. And I'm using it and I was like, this is brilliant. Yeah. It's like, it was way beyond my expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. So massive recommend from us. Make sure you check out the links below, you know, links to the original Shiro article, which has got some great information in there, and some links to the site where we got ours. But I think that'll do us for today. I think if you're looking for the Sega Guys verdict, it is a definite thumbs up. But we'd love to hear what you think, you know. Hopefully you're getting involved in the discussion below, and we will, you know, keep the chat going on the Sega Guys Discord. And yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, give us a like and subscribe, because that really helps the channel. At the time of speaking, we've just passed 8,600 subscribers. It'd be brilliant to see where we are when this video airs in the new year, but thanks to each and every one of you. And if you want to be extra mega, think about becoming a member with a bunch of awesome perks. Start from as little as 99p, getting some rewards such as getting your name read out in the credits, just as James is going to do now.
Certainly, our premium members for this episode are G-Man, Stiff Peaks, I Am Mikowski, Craig Williamson, Resident SD, G-Wall, Tom Fum, Peter 007, Andy Mackey, Nick Tullock, and of course, our brothers at Sega Saturn, Shiro. And Dan's got the attire on as well. So, no, thank you very much to all our members and all of our subscribers for your support, as always. I say, if you have listened to this one, if it has come out in 2025, we hope you have a lovely Christmas and New Year. And yeah, let's see where 2025 takes the Sega guys, mate. It's an exciting time on the channel.
It is indeed. It will be 30 years this year when this airs, since the Sega Saturn launched in the West. But well, where'd that go? But obviously, it's the console that never ages for us, mate. We'll continue talking about it. And until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
Jacob.